So, imagine holding a 15-year government lease in downtown Washington, D.C., right? And you suddenly find out the building is just, well, it's a ghost town.
Yeah, completely empty.
Exactly. And the tenant has just activated this like legal loophole to stop paying rent. I mean, for generations, holding a General Services Administration lease, a GSA lease, was, the ultimate bedrock strategy for any commercial real estate portfolio.
No, absolutely. It was essentially the equivalent of buying a US Treasury bond, but, constructed out of concrete and glass.
Right. Institutional capital parked billions in these assets because the assumption was just universal. Absolute, unshakable security backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
You underwrote the asset, you locked in your debt, and you basically just walked away for a decade.
Yeah, you slept perfectly at night. But as of March 2026, that pristine, risk-free landscape is entirely fractured. So if you are an institutional investor listening to this, or a CRE asset manager, or a hotel owner with heavy exposure to federal tenancies.
Or even government-driven travel.
Right, exactly. If that's you, the fundamental assumptions underwriting your portfolio are officially obsolete.
Yeah, the ground is completely shifting beneath institutional portfolios right now. And what makes the structural transformation so compelling is that the sudden devaluation of physical government real estate, it isn't coming from traditional macro factors.
Like, you mean Federal Reserve rate hikes or local zoning stuff?
Exactly. It's not that. It is flowing entirely downstream from this massive structural human capital crisis inside the federal civil service. We're seeing a direct, quantifiable correlation between plummeting workforce morale and, well, the immediate viability of billions of dollars in commercial real estate.
Which brings us to the mission of today's deep dive. We are preparing a high-level briefing for you, the institutional investor tuning in today, based on a truly phenomenal piece of market intelligence. We're looking at the latest Priest Perspective newsletter, authored by Priyanshu Adithakur.
Right. Priyant, and I mean, for those of you operating at the institutional level, Priyanshu is already a household name.
Oh, without a doubt. He is the premier commercial real estate and hotel investment advisor in the market today. And his latest thesis serves as this massive wake-up call. Basically, the federal workforce crisis has metastasized into a full-blown commercial real estate and hospitality crisis.
Yeah, it's spilling over everywhere.
So we're going to unpack Priyanshu's insights to understand the mechanisms driving this, uncover the hidden valuation traps sitting in your portfolios right now, and outline exactly how you need to pivot your strategy.
And Priyanshu's analysis is essential reading right now because while he consistently bridges this critical blind spot that traditional real estate analysts just ignore, he directly connects the psychological and operational health of the tenant's workforce to the actual capitalization rates of the physical asset.
Right.
If your underwriting models don't account for the tenant's internal workforce dynamics, you are mispricing your risk entirely.
Okay, let's unpack this human data, because this is the catalyst for the entire paradigm shift. Priyanshu refers to the current state of the federal workforce as a, and I love this phrase, a layer cake of trauma.
It's a very accurate description.
It really is. And the metrics he highlights are just staggering. So we're looking at a recently released independent survey conducted by the Partnership for Public Service. And they had to step in and execute this audit because OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, actually canceled the standard 2025 survey to, quote, recalibrate their metrics.
Which is a massive red flag on its own.
Right. So this independent audit comes out and reveals that the federal government-wide employee engagement score has plummeted to 32 out of 100. I mean, 32. For an organization of that size and engagement scores, 32 is basically an operational paralysis event.
It really is. But before we dive into the specific mechanisms driving that 32 out of 100, we must be incredibly clear with you, the listener, regarding our analytical framework today.
Yes, very important point.
The source text we're analyzing deals heavily with recent shifts in government policy, new administration directives, and what Priyanshu terms politicization anxiety. But we are maintaining strict political neutrality in this briefing. We
Exactly.
are not endorsing, criticizing, or taking any sides on these governmental policies. Our sole mandate, and Pri's mandate for that matter, is to analyze these policy shifts strictly as objective, quantifiable market risk factors.
Right. We're evaluating this data the exact same way we would evaluate a global supply chain bottleneck or, a shift in the federal funds rate. It's simply a variable in the valuation model.
Precisely. It's just math and market risk at the end of the day.
An absolutely crucial distinction. So looking at those market variables, you don't hit a 32 out of 100 engagement score because of like minor administrative friction. Priyanshu's data points to three massive structural drivers.
Yeah, and the first one is extreme job security anxiety.
Right, stemming from those recent reclassifications. New administration policies stripped Title V civil service protections from roughly 50,000 career roles. Mm. These were formerly known as Schedule F. And they reclassified them as at-will positions.
And when you take 50,000 specialized workers who, you know, built their entire lives around tenured job security and suddenly subject them to at-will termination, the psychological contract of the job just disintegrates.
Yeah, it completely breaks down.
And the mechanism of that anxiety is what drives the physical real estate impact. Hmm. Because these aren't entry-level roles. These are often highly specialized, you know, GS-13 and GS-14 level employees.
Until they're experts.
Exactly. When their roles become at-will, the fear of termination for just doing standard non-partisan administrative work skyrockets. And that leads directly to the second driver Pry highlights, which is the hemorrhaging of institutional knowledge through the deferred resignation program.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That program is wild. It's not just standard turnover.
No, not at all. Employees are utilizing this program to essentially bank their accrued sick leave and paid time off. So they maintain their technical employment status while actively refusing to come into the physical office.
Right. They use this runway to aggressively search for private sector roles. Pry's data notes that over 40% of surveyed employees admit they are actively executing or considering
right.
this exact exit strategy.
Yeah, 40%.
I mean, it essentially codifies quiet quitting into a severance runway. They are on the payroll but physically absent. And that pairs lethally with the third driver Pry isolates, which is a severe chilling effect on operational reporting.
Right, the whistleblower data.
Exactly. Confident whistleblower protections have hit a record low. Only 22.5% of employees feel they can report violations without facing immediate retaliation.
So when you synthesize those three mechanisms, the loss of tenure, the deferred resignation runway, and the collapse of reporting safety, you get a workforce that is entirely paralyzed.
Right. They're anxious, they're disengaged, and most importantly for our portfolios, they simply stop swiping their badges at the lobby turnstiles.
Which forces a radical transformation in how the tenant, the U.S. government, consumes physical space.
Okay, let me push back on this for a second, just from the perspective of a traditional Core Plus fund manager.
Sure.
Wait, if I hold a GSA lease with, say, 8 years of firm term remaining, why does it matter to my returns if the building is physically empty? I mean, the localized HR problems of the federal agency aren't my problem, right?
Yeah.
As long as the GSA rent check clears on the first of the month, the asset continues to cash flow.
That's the traditional way of thinking, yeah.
Right. The debt service is covered, so why do I care if the desks are empty?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, that exact set it and forget it logic is the trap Priyanshu is warning institutional capital to avoid right now. Yeah. Historically, the government functioned as a massive space hoarder. They underwrote vast amounts of empty square footage just to account for theoretical peak capacity. But Pry's research shows that the era of financing shadow vacancy, which is that gap between leased square footage and actual daily badge swipes, that era is over.
Because of the new legislation.
Exactly. The catalyst is the 2025 legislative mandate that fully empowered the Public Buildings Reform Board, or the PBRB, for the 2026 fiscal year.
And the PBRB's enforcement mechanisms are entirely metric-driven, right? Like, fully automated.
They are merciless. The new statutory rule is that if a federal agency fails to maintain a physical space utilization rate of at least 60%, and this is measured objectively via IP network logins and physical badge swipes over a rolling 12-month period, that property is immediately flagged.
Flagged for forced consolidation or divestiture.
Yes.
So given the 32 out of 100 engagement score and the massive utilization of the deferred resignation program, there is simply no mathematical way these standard administrative offices are clearing a 60% daily occupancy hurdle.
None. The human capital data absolutely guarantees that the physical footprint will fail the PBRB audit.
Wow.
Yeah, the mandate flowing down from the PBRB is binary. You either consolidate the footprint or you shed the asset.
Here's where it gets really interesting for the portfolio managers tuning in. A government board issuing a footprint reduction mandate in DC is one thing, but the mechanical execution of that mandate against your specific assets, that's where the blood is drawn.
Right, how it actually plays out in the real world.
Exactly. Priyanshu Adathakar lays out three immediate execution risks that are aggressively devaluing federal portfolios today. Because the GSA is mandated to shed 15 million square feet of leased space through 2026, They are weaponizing their lease structures. Which brings us to the first massive vulnerability, the soft-term termination cliff.
And this is where the gap between your paper valuation and operational reality becomes incredibly dangerous. Roughly 65% of current GSA leases contain soft-term termination rights.
65%?
Yes. And historically, institutional landlords just modeled those soft terms as firm terms, right? Because the government never bothered to exercise their early termination options. They just rolled the leases over.
Right, it was just boilerplate language nobody worried about.
Not anymore. Today, the GSA is actively hunting through their portfolio for any lease entering its soft term phase, and they are executing those 90-day and 120-day termination notices to satisfy the PBRB's consolidation quotas.
So if you are looking at your spreadsheet and assuming your GSA lease is secure until, say, 2032, but you enter your soft term phase next quarter, your weighted average lease term is essentially a mirage.
A total mirage.
You could receive a termination notice tomorrow, instantly destroying your debt service coverage ratio. Mm-hmm. And because the GSA is weaponizing these soft terms to shed generic administrative space, we're seeing a massive, highly accelerated flight to quality.
Yes, which creates Prianshu's second critical investor risk, deep market bifurcation. Federal agencies know they cannot lure an anxious, disengaged workforce back into an obsolete 1980s-era Class B or Class C government bunker.
No way.
Yeah.
The fluorescent lights alone would keep people away.
Exactly. So they are utilizing the PBRB consolidation mandate to shed multiple aging commodity spaces and upgrade into a single, highly amenitized Class A space. They're leasing significantly less square footage overall, but they are demanding premium quality for what they actually retain.
You know, I look at those legacy Class B and C federal buildings, the deep windowless floor plates, the low drop ceilings, the deferred maintenance, and the immediate question from a value add perspective is always reposition.
Right. Conversions.
Yeah. Can we take this stranded asset, strip it to the studs, and execute an office to residential conversion?
In the vast majority of these specific federal assets, the architectural realities make conversion financially disastrous. As Pri points out, the floor plates of these 1980s build-to-suit federal bunkers are often massive and perfectly square.
Right. So the distance from the elevator core to the window line is way too deep for residential layouts.
Exactly. You'd have bedrooms with zero natural light. And when you factor in the cost of coring new plumbing stacks and upgrading the HVAC, your capital expenditure easily exceeds $400 a square foot.
Ouch.
Yeah. So in a high interest rate environment, the math on converting a Class C federal bunker simply does not pencil out. These properties aren't value add opportunities. They are stranded assets facing immediate obsolescence.
So what does this all mean for macro level valuations in federal heavy markets? I mean, if the GSA is terminating soft terms and stranding Class B assets, the systemic risk has to be bleeding into cap rates across the board, right?
It absolutely is. And this is where Prianshu identifies his third and perhaps most pervasive portfolio risk, the Washington, D.C. discount.
The D.C. discount.
Yeah. Because institutional buyers are highly sophisticated, they see the human capital crisis, they see the PBRB mandates, and they are now underwriting an entirely new politicization risk premium into their valuation models.
Makes sense.
And this is localized most aggressively in the D.C. metro area, where the GSA historically occupies nearly 12% of the total office inventory.
12%. I mean, when a single tenant controls 12% of your market, and that tenant is under a statutory mandate to drastically shrink its footprint, the entire market suffers a valuation drag.
Exactly. Buyers are demanding significantly higher yields to take on GSA exposure. We are seeing cap rates expand by 100 to 150 basis points on properties that historically traded at premium pricing.
Wow.
Even if you hold a pristine Class A building with, say, 5 years of firm term remaining on the lease, a prospective buyer is looking at the internal chaos of the tenant and pricing in a massive probability of non-renewal at the end of that term.
So the full faith and credit of the government is no longer powerful enough to compress cap rates.
No. The market is pricing federal leases as high volatility assets right now.
And we have to recognize how this specific valuation drag bleeds directly into the hospitality sector, which Prianshu also advises on heavily.
Yes, the hotel impact is huge.
Right. If the federal administrative workforce is utilizing the deferred resignation program, avoiding the office, and the GSA is shedding 15 million square feet of space, the derivative impact on federal travel is catastrophic.
Oh, absolutely.
Hotel owners in D.C., Northern Virginia, and Maryland who base their revenue management models on government per diem room nights or interagency travel or federal training seminars,
yeah,
They are watching their base demand just evaporate. A shadow vacancy in an office building directly translates to empty hotel rooms on a Tuesday night.
It is a compounding ecosystem effect. I mean, if the human capital machinery isn't functioning in the physical office, the entire ancillary economy supporting that office, from corporate hospitality down to the ground floor retail, it just suffers a severe capitalization hit.
Okay, so listening to all of this, the soft term cliffs, the stranded Class C assets, the structural cap rate expansion, and the hospitality bleed, I mean, it sounds like a mandate for total liquidation. It sounds like institutional capital needs to exit the federal sector entirely.
Well, what's fascinating here is that total liquidation is the exact opposite of what Priyanshu recommends.
Wait, really?
Yes. This is a masterclass in market segmentation. Priyanshu strongly stresses that not all federal real estate is doomed. The massive risks we just dissected, the shadow vacancy, the PBRB 60% rule, the soft-term weaponization, these vulnerabilities are almost entirely concentrated in generic administrative office space.
Okay, so spaces where employees just sit at standard desks, process digital paperwork, and theoretically possess the capability to perform that function remotely.
Exactly. The key to surviving this market is identifying the assets where remote work is physically and legally impossible.
So taking a surgical approach to the portfolio rather than a shotgun approach.
Right.
Looking at Priyanshu's methodology, the assets surviving this crisis are those where the physical architecture of the building is intrinsically tied to the job itself. He calls them mission-critical infrastructure.
Precisely. Priyanshu has identified highly specific, niche federal properties that remain absolutely essential to the daily physical operation of the government, regardless of workforce, morale, or engagement scores. He points capital directly toward four distinct safe havens.
Okay, what are they?
First, high-security SCIFs.
Oh, right, the sensitive compartmented information facilities.
Exactly. Second, specialized government laboratories, such as those utilized by the DEA, the FDA, or the NIH.
Makes sense.
Third, federal medical facilities like Veteran Affairs hospitals. And finally, land ports of entry and specialized logistics hubs.
The underlying logic there is bulletproof. I mean, you cannot process classified air gap satellite imagery from your kitchen table on a residential Wi-Fi network.
No, you definitely cannot.
And you cannot conduct a secure DEA chemical analysis in your garage. You cannot perform specialized VA medical procedures over a Zoom call. The physical space is a mandatory requirement for the execution of the mandate.
Furthermore, the build-outs for these facilities are incredibly heavy and highly specialized. I mean, SCIFs require immense investments in copper shielding, acoustic dampening, and independent HVAC systems.
Right.
Government labs require reinforced structural loads and highly volatile chemical exhaust systems. VA hospitals require massive integrated medical infrastructure because the capital expenditure to outfit these buildings is so astronomically high, the tenant becomes incredibly sticky.
Right, because the reproduction cost is too high for the GSA to simply terminate a lease and try to build a new lab down the street. It makes the demand for that specific square footage highly inelastic.
Exactly. Even if the agency's broader engagement scores sit at 32 out of 100, the critical function of that laboratory or that SCIF must continue. And it must continue inside that specific, highly secured footprint.
Yeah, there's no alternative.
Because of this inelastic demand, these mission-critical facilities are generally exempt from the PBRB's administrative consolidation mandates. They represent the true insulated safe havens for institutional capital operating in the federal space today.
So what does this all mean? To synthesize this entire briefing and deliver Priyanshu's ultimate thesis for our institutional listeners, the era of treating a GSA lease as a set-it-and-forget-it bond equivalent is dead.
Completely dead.
You can no longer rely purely on the sovereign credit rating of the U.S. government to guarantee the terminal value of your commercial real estate. In 2026, the value of a federal lease is derived entirely from the mission criticality of what happens inside those four walls. As Prasanthas perfectly distills it, if the people aren't showing up, the lease eventually won't either.
It represents a profound evolution in how institutional capital must underwrite commercial assets. And, you know, it underscores exactly why navigating this rapidly shifting landscape requires an advisor who looks far beyond the ink on the lease agreement. You need an analyst who connects the human data, the statutory mandates, and the operational realities behind the tenancy to project future asset viability. This level of predictive, granular intelligence is exactly why Priyanshu Adathakar is the undisputed go-to authority for optimizing commercial real estate and hotel investments in the current market.
You just cannot manage an institutional portfolio in this environment by looking at expiration dates on a spreadsheet anymore. You have to understand the human capital driving the physical asset.
And this raises an important question for you to consider as you audit your broader portfolios this week. We've just spent this briefing dissecting how the full faith and credit of the U.S. government is no longer sufficient to secure an anchor lease against these massive cultural and structural shifts in workforce behavior.
Right.
So look beyond your GSA exposure. What other traditionally bulletproof institutional tenants, perhaps massive legacy university systems, sprawling regional healthcare networks, or blue chip tech campuses, might be harboring their own invisible, catastrophic shadow vacancy crises right now?
Oh, wow. An incredibly sobering but absolutely vital question to take back to your investment committees. Thank you for joining us for this briefing. We'll see you on the next deep dive.